Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Names.
You'll never see a team like this again.
The biggest game.
This game.
What a game.
Magnificent. Unbelievable.
Game on.
Getting a head start on the weekend.
Rugby league. That's what we love it.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Thursday night footy.
Welcome aboard. Another round, another weekend of bubble life as Parramatta takes on Canberra in what should be, you would think, a pretty competitive Thursday night game. Canberra coming off some pretty decent form. In fact, their last two wins have been pretty comfortable. Their last two games, two comfortable wins. There's some changes there. And for Parramatta, they're 1-17, but no Mitch Moses, which I'm sure you know by now. Wendell Saylor, hello to you. I think we might get a good one tonight from Cbus Super Stadium.
Mate, I hope so. Mate, it's been quite a relaxing week this week. I haven't played any golf. I didn't really watch the British Open, but... It's been good. You know, sometimes we just...
Is this a fishnet jumper? I have to interrupt. Is that it? So you're wearing something underneath
that,
right?
That's the design, Scotch and Soda.
But there is something underneath. It's not like you're wearing...
That's the design.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's all one. It's not like you've put a jumper on and then you've gone right, said Fred, and put some fishnets over.
No, it's funny you say that because a couple of weeks ago, I wore this in Dead Set Legends and Jude Bolton and Gus Warner weren't happy with it. But
it's a little flamboyant. But I think the big fella can pull it off, Gerds. Hello to
not
you.
Not many could, but he certainly wears it. Well, I'm great, Dan. How are you?
Yeah.
How's your week been?
Do you know something? I've not thought about the Olympics.
Yeah.
I'm actually excited about it.
Yeah.
From tomorrow... I've got to be honest, I missed the Matildas and the softball.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. How did the Matildas go?
They won 2-1.
Matildas won. They were good.
Who did they beat?
New Zealand.
Oh, well, that's...
I knew you were going to say that.
It's New Zealand.
But how exciting that Brisbane, Olympic City.
Yeah. I can't, mate. Hopefully I'll get to light the flame or whatever.
How are you not in the... I did a thing today and we went through all the Queensland... He's not a Queensland sport legend.
Why not?
This is an outrage.
Why not?
He's not. He should be with the likes of John Eales and Alan Border.
Oh,
and
of course he should be.
Greg Norman.
Oh, man,
players have they got up there, Dan?
I'm more the people's champ. They got Lockie and they got Al.
Lockie's not there. Mal.
What?
Mal's there?
Mal. Okay.
Cameron Smith?
Yeah. No, he will be, but no. Artie.
Yep.
The King.
Okay.
That's about it. There's not many on there.
Oh, well, I mean...
But this is the greatest winger in Broncos history.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
But anyway, so...
Oh, sorry.
very exciting. I know.
Look, it is good.
I hate it that people are poo-pooing, no one bid against them. Well, okay, but does it matter?
That's right, yeah.
They're hosting the Olympic Games.
Yeah. Yep.
How exciting.
Do you think this is good for us?
Oh, yeah, you're going to lose a fortune of money, but the Olympics are coming to
Australia. Is that right, Dan? Is it usually not good for the economy, the Olympics?
No. Well, it depends how it's chopped up and sold, i.e., you could sell it you could make up, this is worth $150 million worth of exposure that will result in tourism over the next 15 years.
Yep.
And you can put that into facts.
That's a long-term investment.
That's exactly right.
But how much support do you get from the Olympic Committee to host the Olympics?
No, they pay, I think, a third of the money comes from tickets.
Yep.
A third of the money comes from the IOC, television rights.
Yep.
And the rest comes from sponsorships. So they'll go in, it's a bit more cut price. The federal government's paying half. Queensland government's paying half. It's actually quite prudent the way they've done it. It's actually a really good mix
model
between the Labor Queensland government and the Coalition Federal government.
Yeah.
It's not often you say that.
No.
But they're going to knock down the Gabba and start again.
Is that right?
Yeah, I didn't know this either. Because originally the plan was, the whole thing about the Olympics now, it's cut. We can't spend squillions, all right? We have to make it palatable to the people because we're spending their money. So the original plan was Carrara, Metricon Stadium.
Yes.
Right? 25,000. The days of the 100,000 Olympic Stadium are over, right?
Yep.
Because it's just that era is done.
Yep.
Right? And
is that right?
And then Anastasia comes out in a few months ago without the federal government's support. And it was written in the paper today in The Australian. And does a presentation at the Gabba and says, we're knocking down the Gabba and we're going to have a 50,000-seat oval.
Wow.
So more suitable for certainly AFL and cricket, and that's where that's going to be the centrepiece of,
So are you saying that at track and field events now on the big stage, they can't get 80,000 people at the Olympics?
No, right. No, no. What I'm saying is it's the building of... Of course they could.
Yeah,
but it's the building of the structure. Like the LA Olympics in 2028, there was a deal done. They were bidding for 2024. But the IOC knows that these days you cannot throw cities away. You can't have the Sydney versus Beijing of 1993 where there's a winner and there's a loser. No. And they're spending, they're outspending each other.
Sure.
These days are over.
Okay.
So it was Paris in LA going for 2024. So they went to LA and said, look, we're probably going to give Paris, we don't want to lose either of you. We're probably going to give Paris 2024. If we were to give you, I can't remember the amount of money, hundreds of millions of dollars, $100 million as an investment, would you consider moving him back to 2028? They said, yes. So the LA people claim they're going to run it at a profit.
Okay.
And 2032. Well, there was only one legitimate
bid. That's right, yeah.
There's only one legitimate bid. That's where we're going with the Olympics. It's such an expensive exercise.
Wow. You think she was grandstanding going over? Did you think she needed to go over?
I personally don't care. Like, I didn't care that she was vaxxed up. But this is all your personal opinion. If you don't like Anastasia, there's something, and I personally don't, but you can have a free shot at her. But you know what? Does it really matter? She's the Premier.
Yeah.
I don't... Do people really care that the Premier was
done a pretty good job, I reckon, for Queensland.
Ben Dobbin, hello to you. Ben's already lining up gigs to get in Brisbane 11 years in advance. How are you, Dobbo?
I'm good, guys. Happy to be at Cbus on a Thursday night. Expecting a crowd of around 1,000. Would you believe it? That's what they're expecting tonight. 1,000 people to watch the Canberra game. It's cold enough as well for Gold Coast. I don't think everybody is wrapped in Anastasia going over to Tokyo, to be honest. The pub test up here is that, you know, in a world where there's so much stuff going on, she could have done it on Zoom.
Probably.
It was a one-horse race. It could have been done on Zoom.
Probably.
She beat the drum hard. But anyway, we've got the Olympics. It's a good thing. I worked out that I'll be 56 come the Olympics. Kids everywhere, and be just what I want to be at.
I think Dobbo, on the back of, you know, some of the people that she stopped from coming in and stopped people from travelling for certain reasons, it's been 100% frowned upon. Dobbo, what's the feeling like up there, though, in Brisbane and around after the announcement?
Everybody's excited. Obviously, last night was pretty special on the Brisbane River. They had fireworks and they had obviously... And I remember, clearly, I remember being at Circular Quay in 93, I reckon it was, when they announced that Sydney were going to win the Olympics in 2000. And that was jubilation because no one ever thought that Australia would ever get another Olympics up to 56. But, I mean, it was good. Yeah, and today, everybody's excited. But, I mean, 11 years is a long time and there's a lot of money that's got to be spent. And, you know, like, I mean, we got rugby league to worry about at the moment. Mm. Like, no one really cares about the Olympics. We've got a bubble, and hopefully next end of next week, we're going to have all these teams back on level one restrictions and out in the community, which will be interesting all in Queensland in the southeast corner. Everybody sort of jostling for positions. So that's the big hope next week, that they drop some of these restrictions, that obviously the borders are shutting up here at the moment, and our thoughts are going to everybody down there in Sydney and Victoria. But next week, hopefully, that these teams are free to roam around, and 5 days later, their families will be able to reunite with them, and we'll have some sort of normality, be it only in Queensland, for the remainder of the season.
Now, Dobbo, we don't normally go to the Daily Mail for our news here on Triple M Footy, but it looks like they've got a big one here involving a New South Wales player. What can you tell us here? Because if this is true, it might be heading somewhere, this story.
Yeah, there's a story just breaking, and we want to qualify that this is coming from the Daily Mail. And it's breaking around a interaction with a New South Wales origin player, Apisai Corasau, that has alleged invited a woman who he met online into the team hotel. Now, this article is just broken literally in the last half an hour, and the NRL are obviously investigating it. New South Wales Rugby League is also investigating it. One thing that I can't get to the bottom of at the moment is that if this New South Wales side were at that time of game two, and whether Apisai Corasau was actually in a bubble, there might have been, it looks like there's a 2-day window where, if that's the case, he actually hasn't done anything legally wrong. And so But if there is, and I've just sent some, obviously some texts out to other people knowing that, and they said, well, they had to be home isolating after the game, and then 3 days prior they were in the bubble. But the NRL are looking into it at the moment. I think the integrity unit has been contacted. But I will say this, that with the Joy Arrow situation that went down, and the, and I'm not throwing rocks by anybody, but the pressure that went with that, and the rocks that were thrown, there could be a little bit of hypocrisy taking place if this turns out to be that they were aware of this, that he might have breached, that they were able to keep it away, yet when Joy Arrow got caught, self-reported, was thrown out, there was a lot of hoopla about the integrity of the Origin camp at Queensland. So we will watch this space. But if by chance there's something and he has broken it, that would have to put Penrith's chances at risk, because he would have to do some time on the sideline as a suspension of some sort from the Penrith Panthers, you suspect.
All right, so let's reiterate, the personal aspect of it is not for us to debate.
No.
Whether there's a wife and someone else brought in. The only question is, was, and we'll check this out, because you're right, this is just broken. It was at Homebush where this happened before the team went to Kingscliff. Okay. So it mightn't have been a bubble situation.
Mm-hmm.
Game two, this was the Sunday night game, so they would have met the Sunday night previously. That's when the team would have got together, I'm guessing.
That's right.
And then flown up to Kingscliff on the Monday. So we'll keep an eye on that. And Dobbo's right. I mean, if a bubble has been broken, then Coruscant is going to have to be punished. But if not, then it's just a morale issue, and you can go elsewhere to debate that. What is not for debate is Australia and New Zealand have definitely pulled out of the World Cup. So yesterday or the day before, the organisers had said, no matter what happens, we are going to play the Rugby League World Cup. We hope Australia's there. We hope, well, New Zealand wasn't even part of the conversation. It was just expected they were going to be there. But it's on in October, November, see you there. And if Australia's not there, we're going to make do. Del, it's bloody hard to see how you can have a tournament called the World Cup and not have certainly the best team and probably the second best team in the world. I mean, that's a debate with Tonga and England, but either way, that's not a World Cup anymore.
No, it's not a World Cup. You want the best teams there, and we're going through a crazy situation. This has been around for 18 months. So, for me, I know we spoke about it before, but you just can't have a World Cup. Mate, yep. Delayed it. You look at the Olympics. We delayed it. I mean, the Olympics is a big thing, and we know what it obviously brings to the world, and obviously the rights and all that. But with the Rugby League World Cup, it's just, it's not the time or the place to be doing it.
Now, we know that the Australian Rugby League have been in consultation with the NRL clubs, I think they've made a decision based on the fact that...
Charlie, am I off?
The guys are...
You are now, Dobbo.
On the fact that these guys are going to potentially be in, some sort of lockdown until the end of the year, the grand final, then they're finally going to get out of that. Then it would be going back in to another bubble, going over to and doing something like what the Olympic athletes are experiencing at the moment in Tokyo. So when you think,
and then having to come back here,
and then having to come back here for 2 weeks, so it's a lot to ask the players. I'd imagine the RLPA have been involved, but I think the Australian Rugby League and the New Zealand Rugby League have been informed by, and this is just speculation, obviously, but informed by the NRL clubs that they don't want their players to pay partake, and the players are probably pretty vocal as well. Now, if you think that the Australian and the New Zealand players don't want to go and the clubs don't want them to go,
they're not going
to
let the Tongans and the Samoans
go.
No way. No. So, I mean, they could have a tournament over there and call it something else. Just can't call it the World Cup.
Yep.
Have England, have France, PNG, all those teams, Fiji, if you can muster, but you just can't call it a World Cup. And let's have the World Cup next year. And the thing we see images of England, right, the UK, and we think, geez, we can't get bloody vaccinated. Look at them. They're now, it's freedom. Well, they're still getting 20 to 30 to 40,000 cases a day.
Yep.
They're just in a different mindset.
That's exactly right.
Where they've gone from hard lockdown where they were getting 100,000 whatever a day.
Yep.
They've come to a point now where they've gone, well, we've got to get on with life.
And
we don't want to be risking our players. You just don't want to risk people getting COVID unnecessarily.
Yep.
So,
what do you think?
Oh, it's the right call.
Yeah.
It's mid-July and the tournament is November. I suppose you could have waited another month or 6 weeks.
Yeah, I reckon pull the trigger now.
Yeah, look, you're probably right, and it probably saves the inevitable. And I don't know what happens with insurance and all those things, but plant next year.
Yep.
Plant next year.
No biggie.
Have all the, England, you know, have them host again.
Yeah.
That's great. But just because by the time we get to next year, COVID will still be with us.
Yes.
It's not going away.
No.
But anyone who wants to be vaccinated will certainly have been vaccinated by then. And,
we'll be living with it. We'll be living with the virus.
100%.
Essentially, at some 100%. Point, like the rest of the world.
That's it. Triple M rocking the footy. We've got to get you ready for the Raiders and the Eels. And Tevita Pangai off to the Bulldogs. And a few other things going on as well. Mitchell Moses, how will the Eels fare without him? And should they turn their eyes to Anthony Milford? That's next.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, indeed. Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Dan Ganane, Ben Dobbin, your team tonight as we do prime time, as always, for Canadian Club. The bad sweater is still going. It's still back and it's still badder than ever before. And it's been a bit chilly in that. Well, we're right in the middle of winter, so never a better time for the Canadian Club bad sweater. The Raiders, do we think they may have turned some sort of corner considering... No Xavier Savage, he's out for the season, so Jordan Rapana goes to one. And Jack Whiten's out, so they're going to do it tough tonight, Gerds, but they have had two wins, and given how gettable 7th and 8th seem at the moment, Canberra have put themselves right back in the mix.
Yeah, they a lot more resilient, Dan, much better attitude, a lot more energy, so they're doing all those little things right, ball completion, they're much better attitude, I think you could say, but I think they still struggled to break Cronulla down defensively last week. They haven't got players to get the ball where it needs to go on the back of momentum, so we saw it was last week, I think it was a double from Sam Williams, basically through the middle of the field. So what they did, they just wore the Sharks down. Their back end of their sets was really really constructive with Matt Frawley, and they were getting repeat sets. And on the back of that, they just wore the middle of the Cronulla Sharks down and scored a couple of tries. Now, I don't think that's going to happen against Parramatta tonight. I think they're going to have to find different ways with their attack to move the Parramatta defence around, and I'm just not sure they have that in them.
Yeah, and they thumped Manly with the power game too, didn't they?
They
said, you know what, it was like Dell, they thought, geez, we don't have much attack here. Let's just bash them. Well, and they did.
Well, I think what they did, as you said, they went through their middle third, went through the edges. What they were doing before that, well, they were trying to go lateral. They were making too many mistakes. But also, I think when Hodgson and Starling, when Starling comes on, I think they complement each other. So I reckon that's really good by, obviously really good coaching by Ricky, but also they're panicking now. I reckon for a long time there they thought, oh, we'll make the eight, we'll turn the corner. Yeah. When they got their butts kicked in Canberra, I just thought, these blokes are gone. There's something going wrong here in Canberra. And, you know, some players weren't happy. There's a bit of unrest. But I reckon Starling's given them something special off the bench. Obviously, Papa's doing what he's doing. And those young players coming in now, I think they make them a bit hungrier as well. Like,
yep.
Young Savage,
What do you think of him?
Mate, Lolly Takiri told me when he debuted, he said to the boys, he goes, mate, watch this kid, because obviously he's got some speed. He can play, come through that Queensland academy system. I think the kid's got some potential. Apparently, he's actually a centre, but they put him in a fullback. So,
okay.
In the next couple of years, I think he's going to be someone to watch.
And on the back of that, Wendell, if he has come through the system in the centres, his first game, he looked a little bit out of place. He looked like he wasn't up with the speed, but that'll explain it if he's come from the centres to fullback. Totally different positional expectations. And then last week it felt like he just sort of felt a lot more comfortable, had a lot more confidence and did some really good things. He's not a really busy player at this point, but the things that he does do, he does them with a high quality. And gee, I was looking forward to seeing him getting in some open space last week. Happened a couple of occasions, but yeah, it's sad that he won't develop at the back end of the season.
Now gone for the year with that AC joint injury. I'm looking at Canberra's draw. It's pretty tough, actually. Canberra plays, well, obviously Parramatta tonight. They've got Newcastle next week at Hunter. Pierce probably back for that game. Then Dragons, Melbourne, Manly, Warriors, Roosters. Cronulla's draw is much softer, and both are currently on 16 competition points. It was funny, the odds didn't change really with Mitchell Moses being out of this Parramatta side. Surely it's going to have some effect, Mitch Moses not being there. Jake Arthur comes in and he's been very steady as a number seven. But they have to have Moses back soon, don't they?
Oh, they do. Mate, if they're going to win it, mate, it's up to him. Mate, look, I don't think he's the most important player in their team. I think Reid Marnie's the most important player in their team. Obviously, Gutherson's so important to their team too. But those three, when they're on. But I think Moses now, he needs to go to the next level. If they're going to win something and get to the premiership, it's got to be on the back of him.
They're just one of those clubs. Sorry, they're just one of those clubs, Dan, that, you know, sitting underneath Melbourne and Penrith, that if they're going to go on and win the, you know, the big day and win the grand final, they need everything to fall into place.
Yes.
And losing, you know, a key playmaker just doesn't tick all of those boxes.
So if his issue is pain management, so the, you know, the description of bones in his back, sort of very minor bones in the back break, well, as minor as it can get. So it ends up coming down to pain management. Do you just say, suck it up, get on as quickly as you can, or do you say, give him 2 or 3 extra weeks just to say, you know what, our big games are in September no matter what, so let's just make sure you're right for then?
Well, it just depends on where they sit on the ladder, Dan. I'd be tempted to definitely give him a couple of weeks off, but if you just spoke about the Raiders run, well, if you have a good look at the Eels run, it's the worst one in the league. You know, they've got to play the Roosters, they've got to play Manly, they've got to play Penrith, they've got to play Melbourne, they've got to play all of the big heavyweights of the competition.
In
the last 6 games. So maybe give him 1 or 2 weeks, let it try and settle down, and then they're going to need him at the back end of the season to make sure that they consolidate that spot in the 4.
Dobbo?
Yeah, we were just talking to him a little earlier. He's obviously here, and he believes he could probably play next week. He said while it's not ideal, Brad Arthur is in no rush to bring him back, and he can do with the rest. So I would suspect that it probably won't be next week against the Roosters, although he believes that he could be. I think it'll be the week after from the way he was talking a little earlier.
The next 2 after that, no knock on the Roosters, but they've got South and Manly. Now, Manly's the team trying to take their top 4 spot.
That's right.
He's got to play that game.
Yep. He's got to.
And South have been a horrible bogey team for them the last couple of years. They're also in 3rd place. So, and listen, the Roosters aren't out of top 4 reckoning either. That's a big 3 weeks. Hey, Dobbo, can you check something out? I had someone tell me today Blake Ferguson has committed to rugby and probably will sign with the Western Force if he hasn't already. I don't know if there's an announcement imminent, but you're pretty good
at finding
this sort of stuff out. So I don't think it'd be a shock if he went to rugby, but geez, Wendell, that's late in a career. You went pretty early in your career to rugby.
I went like 26, I think, but I think at 31. I think he's 31, turning 32, something around that. Oh, look, I think if he was going like to French rugby and that, I'd probably understand. He's probably cashing in there.
Yeah.
But I reckon there would have been a club he could have picked up for 1 or 2 years here.
I would have thought so. I would have thought someone would pick up Blake Ferguson.
If you're going to do rugby, wouldn't you go over and cash in Europe or somewhere else?
Maybe he will. I know the Western Force have been keen, and apparently he's keen now as well. So
he might just play there next year because of this COVID stuff and that. Like, you know, obviously go at the end of the season or whatever.
But doesn't their season start in October, November, the European rugby season?
Yeah. Yes.
So couldn't he go transition straight out of this year? And he hasn't played a lot of footy and cash in immediately.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's played. I don't think he's ever played rugby union, so he might just want to go
have a full season
and then go,
full pre-season.
Anyway, well, if we have any, he's certainly leaving Parramatta, and it seems like he's leaving the NRL, which is a bit of a shame.
The other thing that would be, it's because they're watching Rarudra. He's going so well as well. Like, so all those Parramatta boys, and obviously keeping an eye on.
Where he's in France, though, isn't he?
He's in France, yes.
And Cora Betty has become one of the best Wallabies.
Yes. I think he won the John Eales Medal a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
At the Olympics, I think Sammy Rarudra, he's playing for Fiji.
Oh, yeah?
In the
sevens?
Yeah, sevens.
Wow.
Mate, he's at a...
You're going to watch the rugby sevens?
He'd be hard to stop in the sevens.
But you should see their team. Like, they're the favourites.
They're the favourites, aren't they?
But New Zealand got the wood on them a little bit, but they're going to be hard. South Africa are good. No, Australia go all right. But, mate, have a look at the Fiji boys. Yep. They are so good.
That'd be a massive match because New Zealand... there'd be pressure on them because they don't win that many... We don't win that many gold medals anymore. Mm. Not many opportunities to win gold.
Yes.
And rugby, that's your sport.
Yes.
And then Fiji, well, forgive me, Fijians, if I've got this wrong, but I'm assuming that's your one chance to win a gold in these games.
That's right. They won it, last
that's
Olympics.
That's a massive event. Is. Anyway, all right.
The Kiwis love there's a couple of Kiwis that play for the New Zealand team. A couple of Fijians play for the Kiwis.
And
is that right?
Yeah, so it becomes real sort of...
Oh,
yeah,
they'd be outcasts, wouldn't they?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But it is what it is. It's pretty smart.
All right, Triple M, rocking your footy for Canadian Club Primetime. We do it for Maccas and we do it for Ream Hot Water. We're not that far away, about 15 minutes from the Eels and the Raiders.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks
footy. All right, we're getting ready for round 19 and the games this weekend, tomorrow. Who's calling this one, Gerds? Are you part of this one?
Stella and Wendell will be calling tomorrow. Oh, no, Friday night, I'll be doing that with
me and
Wendell.
Yes, mate.
I keep thinking today's Friday.
Because MG's...
MG's having a break.
Yeah, MG's having a break.
That's me and Del.
Yeah, it's us.
I knew it was you, but I didn't know which game you were, because you've been the MG of the week. Sydney on
I do Fridays. Yeah, Fridays and
so I didn't know
Thursdays.
I didn't know if I'm going to give you tomorrow night off, because you've worked hard.
Yes.
Yep.
So you two with Maroon 4 Roosters, Roosters versus Newcastle.
Yeah.
The late game is, well, it seems like a mismatch now. North Queensland with no Hammer. The Hammer out.
Yeah, he's gone for the season.
Yeah, that's appendicitis, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that, appendicitis.
Versus Melbourne. You know the Cowboys are giving up at home 30 points start.
Wow.
Yeah.
The storm.
And that's no Munster.
No Munster.
And Pappenhausen's back.
Well, how do you think they're going to do that, Melbourne? Because they've got Cooper Johns at 6, Jerome Hughes at 7. Hines at 1, Pappenhausen 17. Now, this game was a grand final and they didn't have Munster, you would think Hines at 6, wouldn't
yes.
you? And Pappenhausen at 1.
They'll just ease Pappenhausen back into it. They'll bring... So Johns will come off at some stage in the second half. They'll put Hines into 5-8 and they'll throw Paps back to
They've got a couple of monster games after
I would imagine that, they sort of want to start trying those combinations too for the back end of the season, because Nicho Hines is a guy that you kind of want to give some footy time to in the bigger game. So you just can't have him there in case Pappenhausen's injured. You need to sort of find ways to get him into the game anyway at the back end. So
what about them? 15 in a row they're going for. 15 in a row.
Under the radar, isn't it, really? Like, I know we know, but like, people just keep talking about Penrith and other teams and stuff. But
they're clearly the best team.
They are.
The best team.
Mate, and if they can get one or two injuries, like Harry Grant hasn't even played for like whenever. He's not even their best number 9. Brandon Smith, I reckon he's gone another level as a player. So is he staying there next year? He's got another year to go there.
I don't think it's been sorted.
No.
I don't think it's been sorted.
But surely.
Dobbo would know that, but I think that had been put on hold.
Oh, mate, if I'm Brandon Smith, mate, I'm probably going, because Harry Grant's going to be their number one.
Did you change your mind there, Inari?
Pardon?
Weren't you going to say I was going to stay and then you just changed your mind?
No. If I'm Brandon Smith.
If you're Brandon, you're going.
You're going.
You're going to get paid.
Harry Grant, we know that, look, Bellamy hasn't got favourites. He loves Brandon Smith, but Harry Grant's the best hooker in the game, I think,
I'm looking here at the NRL website. Yeah. And no, he signed for next year. You're right, Wendell. He is signed for next
year. That's what Dogs were trying to get him.
Yeah. So he can talk from November.
That's right.
Yeah.
November 1.
Yeah.
Saturday, I'm not sure we're going to get many close ones here. South and Warriors at Sunshine Coast. Now, that's where that game was going to be anyway, so that works out quite nicely. The middle game, Manly versus West Tigers. Tigers coming off a win, but they're up against Turbo Tom and the Seagulls. Manly. Have you seen Manly's team?
Yeah.
If Jake plays, you've got Turbo at 1, Foran and Inform at 6, Jerry Evans at 7, Schuster at 12, Jake at 13, and then you throw in Walker, a bit of sprinkling of Dylan Walker at 14.
What about Paseka? What about Olakau?
Yeah, no, it's a, but that's the team that I reckon from they could make the top four, but even from that bottom sort of fifth to eighth there, they're a team that you just on their day they just go bang bang bang.
Yep, Suli.
Yes.
He's on the bench.
Yeah, and he's been so much better. He looks fitter.
He looks fit.
You know what? You cannot stop. You cannot write them from making the four.
No.
Yeah.
Their problem is they've got Melbourne in a couple of weeks. But
what are they, four behind, are they, Parramatta at the moment?
And a bit of for and against.
Yeah, okay.
But the way they're flogging teams.
Yeah, because that is slow start over the first 4 or 5 weeks.
They're 88 behind.
Yeah. Okay.
But if Parramatta drop back to the field, well, they're going to lose some. So, not out of the realms there for Manly.
Nope.
The late game, Penrith versus the Broncos. A Penrith home game, but at Suncorp Stadium. And then Sunday, Dragons versus Titans. That is the nightmare game for tipsters. Dragons.
It's a hard one.
It is.
It's really difficult.
Even the Titans have got a couple of changes there as well. Dragons with their
young Sexton comes in, yeah? So we get a good look at him.
That's
it. We're talking about he's going to be the replacement for Ash Taylor.
Yes.
Over the next couple of seasons. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes.
No bites for Ash Taylor.
No,
no, bites
doesn't seem to be.
So he might be a Super League. Can you believe that? Like he's been on a ridiculous contract for the last 3-4 years. Obviously, he's had his mental health issues. I think he's playing some consistent football, but it's crazy to think that he can't.
Who's a better cut price player, Milford or Taylor?
Milford.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Yep.
And then, Milford in the right system. You know, I think he can recover that form that we saw in 15.
Could he have worked at Parramatta for the last 8 weeks of this season?
I believe he could have, Dan.
Yeah.
I believe he could have. And I said before on the rush hour, you know, a side like Melbourne come in for give him a couple of $100,000 because next year they're losing Hines and he's a guy that could fill in at one. He could fill in at six or seven. They lose Munster. They always go through tough periods during Origin and whatnot. He could even do fill in at nine. I know they've got a couple, but yeah, I'd love to see him in a good system playing confidently
without the responsibility. Wouldn't have to carry
without the expectation.
Yeah,
but also I'm with you, Gertz, too. But I reckon he'd be the fittest he ever was. And it's not
exactly.
And it's not so much people keep saying that you're unfit, but like he just hasn't been pushed and challenged. I reckon Benji Marshall said a couple of years ago, he just trains within himself and he doesn't know how good he can be. Mate, when you go to Melbourne, mate, I don't care where you've been, where you come from, mate. You look at the players that have gone down there. Look at Jennings. Look at Glasby. All these guys. I mean, we know the stories, mate. If I'm Anthony Milford, I'm 26, 27. Mate, sign there for a year or 2 years, mate.
Yeah.
Then you can evolve again.
And quick one because we're running out of time here. Yeah. Do you like Gerds? I'll ask you, Penrith boy. Do you like Pangai dropping in for the last 8 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I do. I think Fisher Harris leaves a little bit of a hole. I think they've showed administration. They've showed a lot of confidence in their coaching staff and the players to be able to handle that situation. I think there's a real maturity about it. And from a player's perspective, you need to think what the goal is at the start of the year is to be in part of a team that wins the premiership. Now, halfway along or whatever the journey may be, if there's an opportunity to bring someone in that can help you achieve that goal, regardless of whether it means or not you might miss out on a couple of games at the back end of the season, if you've got a team-first mentality, you're all for it, and I believe that's the way they operate out there, and I think he'll be held to account. He's going to come into a system that's not going to allow or cater for the ill discipline and the errors.
Yeah.
And he's not going to a side that every time he gets the ball need him to do something because there's so many talented people in that organisation.
That's it.
I hope they just put him in the middle where Fisher Harris was, allow him to just keep it nice and simple, be aggressive defensively, run the ball, tuck it under his wing and leave the rest of it to the other players that have been doing it all for the last 18 months anyway. And then on the back of that, I think his moment will come.
And he'll probably just enjoy winning.
He'll just love being in a different environment.
Yeah.
But also the culture of those players are the Island players too. I reckon it'd be good for him.
Okay. So that we expect an announcement there soon. Triple M rocking the footy. We're just about ready for kickoff here. It's the Eels and the Raiders. We do it for Ream Hot Water and for Maccas.
Triple M's NRL Primetime for Canadian Club. Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.